Well, there's a very exciting event happening tonight at St. Peter's. It is called the Rex J. Lippman Fellow Program. It is a heap of innovative speakers who are speaking to us here in South Australia, and we are delighted to be able to welcome one of those innovative speakers, a positive psychologist amongst many things, Caroline Adams-Miller. Lovely to meet you, Caroline. Welcome to Adelaide.
Thanks for having me.
Are you enjoying Adelaide so far? You've only been here a few minutes.
No, I've been here for at least a day, almost two, and I have to say it's spectacular. I love it.
Okay.
I'm staying.
A bit warmer than your Washington, D.C.
A lot warmer. We have a blizzard right now.
Okay. Good to get the short sleeves on.
Yeah, I love it.
Get yourself a tan. You'll be the most tan person in Washington when you get back. Welcome to Adelaide. Tell us how it came about that you came to Adelaide and you'll be speaking tonight at St. Peter's.
Well, St. Peter's is really, it's put itself on the map as a leader in the world, in the field of positive education. So I know of Matthew White, and I know Matthew White, and I know the work that Simon Murray has done as headmaster, and they've really blazed the way for a lot of other schools to see how to integrate my field of positive psychology. I have a master's degree in positive psych. And how do you integrate it from the bottom up in a school? I mean, it's really groundbreaking work. And my expertise is in the field of the science of goal setting and its intersection with the science of happiness. And my next book is coming out June 1st, and it's called Getting Grit. And Getting Grit is really about this quality we now see is the X factor in life. It's the thing that you really have to have. It's not a nice to have. It's a you must have this quality if you're going to have a flourishing life.
Americans, do they goal set more than Australians? Are we a little bit behind your country?
That's a good question. I actually don't know that answer. I think, though, people don't always goal set scientifically. They don't goal set in the right way. There's something called SMART goals, which I don't think quite hits the mark because I don't think the realistic for R captures what we see in really high achievers who have this quality I call authentic grit. Because they often set unrealistic goals and they're always outside of their comfort zone. And, you know, this generation of the millennials, what we're finding is they don't have grit. And part of it is because they haven't had to have it.
Yep.
You know, a lot of opposition and difficulties have been lawnmowered right out of their way. And so we're really concerned about the worldwide lack of grit in a world where if you don't have grit, how are you going to survive?
You're a great example of grit because your background, you went to Harvard.
I did.
So we only know Harvard as that's the school where all the smart people go here in Australia. And I don't know many Harvard graduates, but you've done that. You're also a master swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just your casual day by night. You're also a black belt,
mm-hmm.
and you've had some personal issues. I read you're a 30-year recoverer
mm-hmm.
of bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
So you are someone that has grit so we can all learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as you say, 2017 children are very different to the 90s children, 80s going backwards. So what can we learn and how do you get that message out there that, you know, times are tough, don't drop your bundle, actually sort of get yourself a backbone and go.
Yeah. Well, of the four things you mentioned about my history, the one that did not require grit was going to Harvard. And so I had talent and I had success,
yep.
and I went to a private girls' school very much like St. Peter's and other excellent schools in your country. And what I did was I just kind of showed up and I got good grades and I performed well in the swimming pool and the piano and
yep.
editor of the school newspaper. But I did things that were basically inside my comfort zone because that's what I learned I had to do in order to please the teachers, please my parents,
yep.
get into the right school. And the bottom line is success doesn't equal grit. And success also does not always equal happiness. And so it was succumbing to this eating disorder, bulimia, and hitting my last bottom in 1984 that caused me to step back and say, what is it I want? What am I passionate about? And I wanted to live. And I wanted to live at a time when there was no hope for people like me. There was no recovery from bulimia. And so what I did now in hindsight, I recognized that I developed this quality of grit one day at a time by sticking with role models, by doing hard things, by taking it one day at a time, but really having a long-term goal of having a flourishing life, being healthy. And that was really the first time I was forced to see that my failure was really the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yep.
And that it's failure is when we discover what matters, what we're made of, what we really want. And I think as the mother of three adult children, we've really protected this generation from feeling bad. We don't want them to fail. I think that's a natural instinct. But guess what? We're finding in the research that people who don't encounter between 3 and 7 significant setbacks in life
yep.
don't have a flourishing life. They never discover what joy really is, because having too few setbacks is as damaging as having too many.
Where did we go wrong? Because you say, we talk about kids today, and mm-hmm. I put my generation in that too. When times are tough at school, they drop out. When work is tough, I don't like my boss, mm-hmm. my job's too difficult, mm-hmm. I'm going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship, I'm having issues with my wife, my girlfriend, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. I'm going to just break away, go single and do mm-hmm. something else. When did we start giving up?
Well, we trace it back to the self-esteem movement, which started in California, and it had the very misguided idea that if you praise children and tell them they're winners or they're great or give them a trophy for doing nothing
yep.
other than setting foot on a field, if that, that we actually turn them into narcissists and sociopaths. And they certainly didn't turn into hard workers, because that's not how you build self-esteem. So it really started there. And as a result, I've watched our culture dumb down everything that my children have encountered, from playgrounds where you can't get hurt. I mean, you fall down and you bounce off the wood chips.
Yep.
Everything's plastic. You go to school, you have a ceremony every other day to tell you how great you are. The most popular run in the United States is called the color run, and all you do is you get paint thrown at you, and there's no times, because people will feel bad if they have a time. So we've removed all the rigor and excellence from their lives. So basically we're in a community now, or a world, where good enough is good enough. And what I'm finding in the work I've done in the field of positive psychology is that we cannot remove hard from our children's lives.
Yep.
We have to put that in there, and don't scoop them up and save them every time something goes wrong. But I think it started with the self-esteem generation, and it just took off, and we're paying the price everywhere.
It's a real controversy here, the merit awards, if you like, or participation mm-hmm. awards.
Oh, please.
Where people need to learn that you come first, second or third in a race. That's kind of where it stops.
Yeah.
You don't get a medal. And I saw someone was talking about this the other day, where they said the person who comes first, second or third looks and says, well, if they got a medal,
yeah.
why am I trying so hard?
Yeah.
Because everyone gets a medal.
Yep. Well, okay, don't get me started. I don't know how much time we have. But so my book is coming out June 1st, Getting Grit. And
yep.
I have a chapter on where did grit go. And I talk about this idea that we've catered to parents in particular who don't want their children to feel bad. And so in the United States, at least, I can tell you about high school graduations where children are not permitted to wear National Honor Society regalia that they've earned because parents say, my child will feel bad. They tried too. Why should we honor them? Or sports teams where they all get these participation trophies. And what's so fascinating to me is there's research on what happens in our brains when we get rewarded for doing nothing. We've studied rats who get into mazes, and the rat just gets sugar water for just standing in the maze. And
yep.
what they find is that they stop trying to solve the maze. They sit down and they get fat. And that's what we're finding, is this generation's been over-rewarded, so they all think that they're winners. And guess what? The world doesn't see them that way. They get
yep.
into the workplace. Not everyone is a winner. So we have to teach them that not everyone is going to succeed at the first try. They're not all going to be president of the company the day they start. I mean, this is a real revelation for some of these young adults. It's stunning, really.
Yep. I'm speaking to Caroline Adams-Miller, who is here at St. Peter's tonight, part of the Rex J. Lippmann Fellow Program, part of the Innovative Speakers Group, a positive psychologist. Do you have the term helicopter parent in America?
Oh, my,
like we do
we ever. I was just looking at what's going on the television behind you, where this minister is saying the kids are the problem, not the schools. And it's certainly not that. We've done this to these kids. But we have helicopter parents. We have lawnmower parents.
Mm-hmm.
We call the kids the fragile perfects, teacups. You know, they're delicate and they break. At Stanford University, the head of students is saying these kids come in and they've just had their lives engineered by checklist.
Yep.
And, you know, the parents come and sit down next to them and they'll say, well, what is it your dream? What is it you want? And the kids can't answer it because they're existentially empty. They're so used to being driven here, driven there, get this A, get that GPA, go to that college, you know, achieve that, you know, be an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever.
Yep.
And they have no idea what they really want. They don't even have passion anymore. We've done it to them. The kids aren't the problem. Society is the problem.
Can we turn it around? Is it too late? I'm a parent. I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. My parents are still alive. They're probably more from the school of hard knocks
mm-hmm.
than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably
mm-hmm.
part of the people that you're speaking about. I'm probably a little gentler on my kids than my parents are. But can we turn it around? Because you're right. You see social media today. You see news today. You just talk
mm-hmm.
to the current millennials.
Mm-hmm.
it is an entitled generation who just think they want the best job now.
I mean, why bother, you know, beating the bush to find a job? They ought to just see my resume and hire me. And here's the interesting news. I did a lot of interviews for my book, and I found that when you go into organizations and companies and you talk to people who are doing the hiring, they don't care where you went to college anymore. They don't care about your grade point average. They're looking for people with this quality of grit, and they have a lot of clever ways they're finding out.
Yep.
One of the questions they'll ask is, who paid for college? You know, if the parents paid, It's almost a strike against them. Did you scrape up enough money semester to semester to send yourself? Did you grow up on a farm? That's a very popular question because those kids grow up with a work ethic. And so what they're trying to figure out is, have these kids ever encountered real adversity, not store-bought adversity, but real adversity? And if you haven't, they don't want you because they figure you're the ones who are going to call in sick.
Yep.
You're not going to stay late. You're not going to support the legal team when they're, you know, doing briefs at night. So can it turn around? It has to turn around. This is non-negotiable, because if we set our children up to be little fragile teacups, we are not giving them the keys to the kingdom. And the keys to the kingdom are what we're finding is this quality of grit. And if you don't teach it in the home, where do you think they're going to learn it? They're not learning it on sports fields. I mean, every coach who's listening to this ought to eliminate every award that's given on their team except for best player and most improved, and stop it right there. No more participation trophies. The kids don't believe in them anyway. I threw out 100 of them when my kids left for college. They didn't even notice because it meant nothing.
Yep.
If you get awards for doing nothing, you think the kids value them? Of course they don't. Why would they?
Can you please stay longer? You need to speak to the kids. You need to speak to parents. You need to speak to our sporting groups.
I am.
It's great. Caroline Adams-Miller is here tonight at St. Peter's, 7 p.m., part of the Rex J. Littman Fellow Program. Now, people can book tickets now. Booking.
We've got hundreds already coming, but we still have room for more. You need to be seated no later than 6:45 because I'm starting at 7 sharp.
That's right.
And you don't want to miss what I have to say, do you?
I get the feeling you're not the lady to mess around either. Like, if people aren't seated at 7, that's it. Close the doors. You know,
absolutely. It's no mercy.
It is lovely to meet you. It's fascinating. Oh, I could talk about it forever. It's such a great topic that, you know, people need to think about, don't they, in 2017, that, you know, and I'm sure that other generations previously do, and look at the next generation and shake their head and pull their hair out.
The problem is, we all know something's wrong, but I don't think we really put our finger on what it was until Angela Duckworth's book came out last year and mine's out this year. Now we know it's this grit quality, and if we don't do something about it now, we're going to be paying the price for another generation.
You've done 6 books. Getting Grit's coming out, your new book as well. Where can people find out more about
you? Well, right now you can pre-order it on Amazon, and it will be in bookstores at the very end of May. June 1st is when it will be delivered to you if you pre-order it. So pre-orders really matter. Angela's book was translated into over 30 languages, and I'm hearing over 30 languages are looking at my book too, so it ought to be pretty widely available.
Caroline Adams-Miller, lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that I'm a better parent as of right now.